Nassau Computer. You are listening to the Voice of America magazine show. I am Walter Guthrie in Washington. Nassau, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, will soon begin using a new computer animation system that accurately simulates human movements in the weightless environment of space. The system, which is being built at the University of Pennsylvania, is scheduled to be delivered to Nassau in June. VOA's Bob Arnold reports. The computer animation system is designed to simulate and test operating procedures aboard space shuttle vehicles. As part of the tests, the system will examine the effects of weightlessness on people's bodies. Electronic representations of the human body, called bubble figures, will be used to simulate in three dimensions the way people move about in shuttle workspaces during flight. The main purpose of the new computer system is to let engineers see if different-sized astronauts would be able to reach controls and perform certain tasks both inside and outside an orbiting spaceship. Professor Norman Dodler is directing this project at the University of Pennsylvania. He notes that his system takes into consideration the physical limitations of human joint movement. This means that the computer will give a more realistic picture of what people can and cannot do under weightless conditions. The computer cannot cheat by performing movements with greater flexibility and dexterity than a person can. In addition to shuttle simulations, the animation system will be put to work comparing various designs for proposed future space stations. Movement simulation by computer is not likely to be restricted to space activities. Future projects may involve such things as simulating the movements of robots and humans working on Earth-bound assembly lines.
Nobel Prize winners. Three Americans have won this year's Nobel Prizes for Physics and Chemistry. William Fowler and Indian-born Subramanian Chandrasekhar won the Nobel Prize for Physics. They were honored for their discoveries about the birth, development, and death of stars. Dr. Fowler studied the nuclear reactions that happen inside stars. He discovered how these reactions produce the different chemical elements of the universe. Dr. Fowler showed how the simplest kinds of atoms crash into each other to produce heavier atoms during nuclear reactions inside stars. Those heavier elements continue to crash into each other to produce even heavier elements. And he showed that when a giant star explodes, it releases forces powerful enough to create the heaviest known chemical elements. Dr. Chandrasekhar studied what happens when a star uses all its nuclear fuel. Scientists already knew that small stars, the size of our Sun, someday become extremely dense objects called white dwarf stars. Dr. Chandrasekhar wanted to know what happened to the larger stars when they burned all their fuel. He found that if a star was more than 1.4 times larger than the Sun, it would not become a white dwarf star. He said a large star that used all its nuclear fuel would become an object much denser than a white dwarf. It can become a neutron star or a black hole, a body so dense that its gravity would not let light escape.
Hawk kites. You are listening to the Voice of America magazine show. I am Walter Guthrie in Washington. Whenever his fellow California farmers tell Bart Fisher that they are having trouble with unwanted crop-eating birds, he tells them, "Go fly a kite." He's not being rude. He's giving good advice. A little more than a year ago, Bart Fisher and his father decided that conventional scarecrows, man-shaped figures placed in the fields to frighten away birds, just didn't work well enough. It didn't take the birds very long to figure out that the scarecrow is harmless, and after a day or two, they simply ignored it. The fishers also tried sending men out into the fields with shotguns to frighten the birds, but that proved to be expensive and time-consuming. The fisher's particular bird problem is a species called the horned lark, which is especially found in the lettuce the fishers grow on some 2,500 hectares along with melons and tomatoes. The fishers hit upon the idea of flying kites over their crops, kites shaped and colored to look like hawks. Hawks are, of course, predators, and most birds are terrified of them. The hawk kite is attached to a long line, which in turn is attached to a swivel atop a 6-meter-high pole. That allows the kite to circle, swoop, and dip with changes in wind direction and speed. Mr. Fisher says the hungry lark stay completely away from his fields for about 4 or 5 days after the kites are in place. Gradually, he says, a few of the braver larks will start to come to the very edges of his lettuce fields, but that they will never feed directly under the hawk kites. He says one kite will keep about 7 hectares free of the larks. Mr. Fisher says after a little more than a year, the hawk kites are effective, inexpensive, and essentially maintenance-free. And he advises any farmer plagued by crop-eating birds to do as he did. Go fly a kite. Arthur Ashe. You are listening to the Voice of America magazine show. I am Jonathan Kern in Washington, sitting in for Walter Guthrie. A few years ago, Arthur Ashe was ranked as the top tennis player in the world. Currently, he's the non-playing captain of the U.S. Davis Cup team. And now, at the age of 39, he's embarked on a new venture, a monumental book about the history of the black athlete in America. The name Arthur Ashe is familiar to tennis fans the world over. He won the U.S. Open in 1968, the Australian Open in 1970, and the men's singles at Wimbledon in 1975. He also won doubles championships in both the French and Australian Opens, part of the Grand Slam. In 1979, after reaching the finals in the U.S. National Indoor and the U.S. Pro Indoor Championships, the tennis champ suffered a major heart attack. It required him to undergo a quadruple bypass operation. Early in 1980, Arthur Ashe announced his retirement from competitive tennis. He still loved to be involved in coaching tennis and in helping to raise money for several charitable causes, including the American Heart Association and the United Negro College Fund. And now, Ashe has started a new project. He came to Washington recently to sign a publishing contract with Howard University Press. Ashe told a news conference that the book will be a complete history of black American athletes from the mid-1800s to the present. He expects this monumental research task to take 2 years or more. The task is difficult because few records were kept on black athletes until the early years of this century. In many cases, those records are no longer available. The volume will contain details about the life of every black American athlete who has made a significant contribution to sports. It will also contain an encyclopedia section listing virtually every black American athlete in all sports. Ashe says he is well qualified to write the book. A published author, he now teaches a course on the black athlete at Florida Memorial College in Miami, Florida. In fact, he says, it was while teaching a class that he recognized the need for such a volume. Ashe says there have been several attempts to compile books on black athletes in the past, but he says none of those books has been as comprehensive as his will be. He has enlisted the help of several others, including a novelist, a researcher, and a sports historian, to go back into the records and locate as many black sports figures as possible. Ashe says he is determined to put together a book that will document the history of black athletes as they moved into the mainstream of American sports. Writing a history of America's black athletes will be a tough task, but for Ashe, it will probably be no more difficult than winning Wimbledon or surviving a massive heart attack.